Save big on your landscaping project now at Menards. Whether you're installing a patio or a new retaining wall, Menards has the blocks you need to get the job done right. We carry the largest in-stock selection ready to take home today. Stop in and get our 12-inch smooth patio block on sale now. Save big on concrete landscape blocks at Menards. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big.
Our yoga instructor challenged us to find inner peace. I found it faster than anyone. After 4 seconds, I stood up and screamed,
"I found nirvana! I win!"
They asked me to leave. I guess they don't respect winning. Bet365 does, though. New customers get $365 in bonus bets just for betting $10. Namaste, losers. Bet365. Winning is everything. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-MY-RESET. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Gabe Morency. Rage all you want.
Let's roll. Level 2. This is Sports Rage. I am Renzi, the pimps, the players, the hustlers, the people, the bustlers, and everybody else in between. Man, there's a lot of stuff to unpack. UFC 274, it had its ups and downs. It was a strange week. It was a strange card. You had the controversy with the scales all week. Cowboy Cerrone versus Lozon was a scratch. And then the Rose-Esparza fight was maybe the worst championship fight in the history of the UFC. It probably had to be, right? Like, it was actually one of the worst fights in the history of the UFC. And I don't know. Like, when Rose coming into the ring saying, I'm the best, it was like she was trying to convince herself. Like, it's not the time now. Like, you do that, like, basically, like, you know, you give yourself a little, like, whatever you do in your head, and then you walk out to put your game face on. I didn't like right away when she came out. I said, well, I don't know, man. She seems rattled and nervous and stuff. And I swear to God, Matthias, I've heard this from fighters before, right? And sometimes, like Phil Baroni once told me, he goes, sometimes, man, you just can't pull the trigger, right? He said, sometimes, like, your mind, you're like, I should be punching, but you don't. And he said, like, and nothing like this, but I'm telling you, bro. It was nothing tactical. There was nothing like this or that. It's like she had like some sort of weird mental, I don't want to say mental breakdown, because I'm not saying, you know what I mean? That's a strong statement.
It looked like she lost to her before, Gabe. I feel like when you lose to somebody, you already have lost.
This is a girl that's beaten the crap out of Njejic, man. This is a girl that's been in absolute brawls and wars with people. And she was just, like, not scared, but she wasn't ready to fight. Like, that was Caleb Starnes-like. And I don't know if you know the Caleb Starnes story, like, with Nate Quarry, in which, like, Starnes, like, didn't fight. Like, he did not throw a punch, right? And same thing. He had, like, this sort of, it's like a golfer getting the yips. It wasn't that, you know, you think Rose was scared of Carla Esparza? Even though you lose to Carla, you don't get hurt.
I think she was afraid of her takedown. I think she was so afraid to get taken down that she wouldn't engage, because Carla Esparza has one of the best takedown
games. Oh, come on.
In female MMA, Gabe. She will take you down, she shoots, and she keeps you down.
She tried to take her down and failed.
That's what makes it even more surprising to me, like, that Rose would not engage.
You're acting like Carla Esparza's Brock Lesnar or something, bro. Like, and, you know, vicious takedowns.
She's taken down all of her opponents, and she's kept them down. She's how many fights has she won in a row fighting the most boring fights in the UFC? And she's
It's effective. But it wasn't like, I'm telling you, it's you're going to see after. It wasn't at all she was scared of the takedowns. No, she had a mental, nervous, like, hitch. In the cage. Like, she could not, right? And it didn't happen until she started realizing there was like 10 minutes left in the fight.
I can't believe her coach, also boyfriend, Pat Barry, was making her feel like the fight was in the bag. Same with Trevor Whitman. It's like, are doing everything the right way. You're fighting a great fight. You got her forehead red. You're going to win this fight. Keep doing what you're doing. And I'm thinking, man, this fight's a lot closer than what these guys are saying.
Yeah, I liked, I thought, I don't know if it was Chaos Williams, his guys are one of the dudes. I'll tell you right now, MMA corners suck for the most part. Level two, this is Sports Rage. I am Morency. The pits, the players, the hustlers, the people, the bust up, and everybody else in between. UFC 274. And Rose and Carla Esparza, one of the worst fights in the history of the UFC. Like, it really was that bad. And I wanted to say this, too. We got a lot of stuff to get to. And I know we got a lot of listeners in Phoenix and stuff, and, you know, we're fans. I know we got a lot of Rageaholics there, but the fans in Phoenix, that was terrible last night. That was terrible. Like, you know, you're booing, you know, Carla Esparza is talking about getting married, you booed her. I even lost money on the fight, you know what I mean? You're booing her after. I forget the Chaison. She won the fight. Did she win the fight? Who cares? It was a crap-ass fight, right? People are, like, booing the crap out of her after. You can boo the result. Don't boo the fighter when she's talking in the cage after. Like, she's like, you know, I work really hard for this, and sometimes it's not going to be entertaining, but you're going to win a fight. And people just booed more, right? And, it was just sort of like, hey, listen, go watch the bare knuckle stuff. If, like, this is, like, anytime someone got taken down, they started booing. It was just sort of a... It was kind of a Bush League crowd, and that's not like a knowledge, you know what I mean? You don't boo everything and stuff. They were booing everything. I mean, hell, they booed everybody. They started booing Chandler for a second, and Ferguson they didn't throw right away, right? Like, guys, it's not like, this isn't like Gladiator, right? So, you know, I thought that, but I will say, and I tweeted during the fight, that the Rose and Esparza, that did deserve to get booed, and... It was so, they're lucky that they weren't in an empty place, because I've never heard Joe Rogan and Cormier, I've never heard the UFC announcers criticize a fight as much as they were when that fight was going on. Like, basically Rogan said, this is the worst fight in the history of the UFC. Like, Cormier was just like, I don't know what to say. He goes, how do you score this? He goes, no one's done anything. They're both standing there. It was terrible. It really was. It was bad. Poor Tony Ferguson. I think Ferguson's still lying on the floor right now somewhere.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models,
Save big on your landscaping project now at Menards. Whether you're installing a patio or a new retaining wall, Menards has the blocks you need to get the job done right. We carry the largest in-stock selection ready to take home today. Stop in and get our 12-inch smooth patio block on sale now. Save big on concrete landscape blocks at Menards. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big money at Menards.
Nobody does it better than Regent Seven Seas Cruises. Enjoy all-inclusive, unrivaled luxury with unlimited shore excursions, indulgent cuisine, personalized service, and more aboard spacious all-suite ships. Visit rssc.com to experience the unrivaled.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks. Like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
For picks and more, want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Sunday, bloody Sunday. This is Sports Rage. I am Renzi, kicking at SiriusXM channel 159 on Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio, the loudest station in the nation, a 50,000-watt juggernaut. Shout out to our AM radio affiliates. It's been a wild weekend of action. little bit of something for everybody. If you didn't watch something this weekend, then you know what? You hate sports. Let's bring in a man that watched a lot of things this weekend, including the NHL Stanley Cup playoffs. Ian Cameron, a.k.a. Babano, throws it down with us. Babano, it's always a pleasure. How you doing tonight?
Oh, it's been NBA and NHL playoff overload here for me, Morenci, this weekend. Just spending the whole weekend just watching the postseason unfold with a little UFC, a little Kentucky Derby thrown in for good measure. So one hell of a sports weekend.
Yeah, it's one of the biggest weekends in recent memory when you consider
Canelo
everything.
Losing in boxing. I mean, geez, I didn't even mention that.
Yeah, it was a crazy weekend, and we broke down 10 events, 10 different sports and events on Friday. And we did well. We did well. We enjoyed that F1 race in Miami, but I did not enjoy the Toronto Maple Leaf game in Tampa Bay tonight. I didn't even take the Leafs. I took the Leafs plus 2.5, and I still ended up losing because I didn't trust the Leafs to actually win the game when it was all said and done. And you know, we knew about Vasilevsky being 15-0. Going into a game coming off a playoff loss, make it 16-0 right now. And an interesting number as far as the Toronto Maple Leafs, the Leafs are concerned, guys. You know, this team, they haven't won a playoff series since 2004, and one of the reasons why, they don't take advantage of series leads. Now, 1-8, Babano, the last 9 times they've had a series lead in a series, they've lost the next game. And it's hard to win a playoff series if you're not going to rattle off a couple of wins in a row. They still can win this series, yet they got drilled tonight in Tampa.
Yeah, they still can. They've still got home ice advantage. There are still a lot of positives, but this was not one of them. They have to know collectively as a group going into tonight that this is the 2-time defending champions looking to avoid a 3-1 deficit before the series shifts back to Toronto. You have to know they're coming out storming. You have to know they're coming out strong and they're firing a punch. And for some reason, the Leafs were not ready to match that. Now, I don't know why, but they were not ready to match that. And it started right from the opening puck drop with just getting swarmed, turning the puck over, leading to multiple Lightning goals. And it was just evident there was urgency for the Lightning and there was not quite as much for the Leafs.
Well, you have to learn to play. Well, that's the whole thing with Bano. That was my point. They have to learn to play. That's the whole thing. You know what I mean? They can play with urgency, but they're not even good in urgent situations, right? It's not like the Leafs, you know, it's like, oh, okay, no, we'll be fine. They haven't been fine. And now game 5 is a must-win situation for them, Bano. It's as simple as that. Like, they're not capable. They've shown they're not capable of winning 2 times in a row. So, like, I don't think right now, like, I don't have any belief that if they win on Tuesday night, that, oh, yeah, okay, they're going to close the series out. No, I mean, at best now, it's going to go 7 if you're the Leafs. And at worst, they're going to lose, man, game. You know, they're going to lose the next game, and then they're done going back to Tampa after. You know, like you said, man, everybody knew Tampa was going to come out hot tonight. I'm not surprised Tampa won. And, you know, it's just the fact. Actually, you know what, man? I'm not even surprised Toronto got drilled, actually. I'm not really surprised by any of it. Like I said, I took them plus 2.5, so I didn't really have a lot of confidence. It really upsets me because I had them parlay with the Dodgers. And, you know, Leafs plus 2.5 and the Dodgers, but man, it was only like minus 145, too. So it wasn't like, oh, I had to lay a big price to do it. It was very frustrating. These son of a bitches couldn't even just lose by 2.
No, it took until the 3rd period to get some sort of a pushback from the Toronto Maple Leafs when they were already down 5-0. Actually, if you take out the empty net goals that were scored in the 3rd period by Tampa, the Leafs outscored Tampa in the 3rd period, like 3-0, I think. I think because all the goals Tampa scored in the 3rd were empty net goals. So it took that for them
they
to be down 5-0.
5-on-5, too, in the series. But all that stuff doesn't matter, right?
Right.
You know, and when it's all said and done. So they got... you know, it is what it is. Like I said, none of it's really surprising. That's the whole thing. We can't be like, oh, I can't believe they didn't show up. It's just, to me, it's more amazing that Tampa Bay, we can talk about Toronto, Babano, but that's who they are. But it's amazing to me that Tampa just answers the bell every damn time they lose, bro. This is 16 times in a row now.
And that's probably a big reason why they've repeated as champions, and they've just got this incredible ability to park a bad game and bring their absolute best the next time. And it starts with their goalie, Andrei Vasilevsky. Everybody was on board tonight. Stamkos, Point, Hedman, Kucherov, the entire, you know, big guns for the Lightning, they showed up. And for the Leafs, this was a quiet night for Austin Matthews, a quiet night for Mitch Marner. They really didn't put their imprint on the game. It was good to see Nylander at least get his first couple goals of the series, but there is a lot of vitriol being spewed on Twitter toward John Tavares, the captain of the Leafs, and people are getting sick and tired of what's happening here. The lack of offense, the lack of, his foot speed, he's not being able to keep up with some of the pace that we're seeing these days. It looks like he's a step slow, losing puck battles, losing foot race situations on the ice. Someone said on Twitter, this is an $11 million face-off guy. That's essentially what the Leafs have right now, an $11 million face-off guy. He's good in the face-off dot, but he's not been particularly fast with his foot speed. He's not finding any sort of ability to finish a chance close in around the net. It's becoming an issue. They need more out of their captain, period.
Yeah, but it's not John Tavares' fault they lost. First off, Leaf fans are douchebags, number one, right? Like, let's just call it off what it is. Like, all Toronto fans are. Like, Raptor, that's what they do. Like, they love the team, and then they turn on the team. Like, no one was crying about Tavares when they were up in the series the other night. Right? Like, no. It's the same thing with Mike Smith. We're all the Mike Smith people. Oh, no, Mike Smith. It was just, it's convenient. Listen, Tavares, quite frankly, Babano, hasn't been very good at all for a couple of years. Right? Like, it's another thing. It's not like it's new. I mean, people can point at Tavares now. They obviously haven't watched him play. He hasn't. And look, the Islanders weren't any worse after he left. They had a ton of success. But that's, you know, listen, man, the Toronto Maple Leafs, they're not going to win or lose because of John Tavares. I'll just put it that way. Like, he's, you know, they pay him a lot of money. Yeah, there's no doubt
about
it.
Collective failure. Yes, I agree.
Yeah. Like, he makes a lot of money, but it's not like, oh, yeah, Tavares better play well tonight or we're going to lose. No, they just got ambushed. They just got, you know, absolutely ambushed. Nothing went their way. To me, it was just shocking how many goals were scored, not just in this game, but across the board. Every game was the same today, for the most part. You know, you look at Boston and Carolina. Boston dominates. They win 5-2. St. Louis wins 5-2. Overbetters are cashing in on this stuff. And we always say, Babano, a series doesn't start until a team loses on home ice. And look, the Boston Bruins are right back in this thing right now.
Yeah, they are. There's no question about that. And you're right. Speaking of the overs, I want to mention, since Friday, we're talking 10-1 to the over in NHL Stanley Cup playoff games. So 10 of the last 11 have gone over the total. I believe for the entire playoffs, it's 20-7 to the over here in the Stanley Cup playoffs. So there's no doubt.
7-4, 7-3, 6-1, 4-2. You're right. It was an over machine on Saturday, too.
Yep, and then 3 of the 4 on Friday went over the total. So there's your 10-1 since Friday with the overs. And it's very simple. Someone asked me, why is that? Why is that? Have you seen the games? Have you seen the penalty parade in every game? It's endless. It's a penalty parade. And a big reason for that is because this year is the first season where cross-checking and hacking and whacking in front of the net when those one-on-one puck battles are going for position to try to get rebounds, they're calling those as penalties this year for the first time. And that is leading to a lot of the penalties that you're seeing in the postseason. They're not letting that crap go now in front of the net. And obviously,
well,
more penalties means more chances for goals.
They should, right? It's not, you know, that's what hot playoff hockey is supposed to be. And another thing is, too, quite frankly, there's a lot of breakdowns, bro, right? It's not just the power play goals. There's a ton of defensive breakdowns all the time that, you know, that shouldn't happen. And another thing is, too, and I saw this, I was tweeting about this the other night, is the empty net goals, man. I've never seen an era of players. I saw it in the regular season, too.
Now that Wendy's has these new biggie deals, everyone in the family can get what they're craving, from Nugs to JBCs. The parental units can get an $8 biggie bundle, the eldest who think they're so grown can get a $6 biggie bag, and the little one who can do no wrong can get a $4 biggie bites. You know, assuming they have a credit card. No, I'm kidding. We take cash, too. $4, $6, and $8 biggie deals for the whole family. Only at Wendy's.
Price and participation may vary. Single items at regular price. Prices may be higher in Alaska, California, and Hawaii.
Man, like, guys just randomly fire the puck at the net now. When the net is empty, man, years ago, you'd get punched in the face for that stuff. They would be like, what are you doing? Like, what? Just flick it down the ice. Don't try to be a hero. And like, now, like, coaches don't even seem to bat an eyelash after one of their jackass players causes a face-off in their own zone after. And these guys don't miss these empty nets, man, nowadays. Like, I'll tell you that. They don't miss very often. I'll tell you that. More of a Babano on the other side. Bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The Late Night Anger Management Class, Sunday Bloody Sunday. This is Sports Rage. We're kicking it with Ian Cameron, a.k.a. Babano. Let's do this thing. We're starting to pick up the pace right now. I told Babano. All right, let's go. Let's pick up the tempo here. Forecheck, backcheck. Let's go. Let's go. Hot take time. NHL playoffs are here. So we were talking about all these empty net goals. And, you know, like I said, I saw this during the regular season as well. We're just sort of in a different era right now. And I totally, you know, I talked about it like, you know, in the old days, guys would always pass the puck or the star player would sort of not want to score in the empty net, Babano. You know what I mean? It'd be like, nah, I'm going to hook up the guy that never scores here, right? And now, man, these dudes are like dudes on chicks at on a bar at happy hour, bro. Like, they see an empty net, man, and they start firing for it. And most of these guys don't miss, but sometimes they do. Like, you know, it was a game last night, actually. And I was watching so many games. But, Benno, there was a team. It was the stupid. I got screwed. It was the Stars.
It's Dallas Calgary.
Yeah, it was the Stars. It was Ben. Jamie Benn. That's it. Bro, there's 15 freaking seconds left. There's an empty net. He fires at the net, but he fires at the net like on the other side of the red line.
Right.
And so he misses the net. And then, and the thing is, Babano, Jamie Benn's been around 100 years. Like, he's actually been taught like old school style stuff. So, like, for him to even do it, and it caused a faceoff. Like, even Gary Galley said, man, they better like not score here. Like, basically, because like Galley's old school. So he was like, you can't do that. Like, what he just did, or maybe it was Millen, actually, whoever the hell it was, like, called him out and said, man, he said the same thing I said. He goes, man, like, you get killed for doing that in the old days. Like, what are you doing? And I see it time and time again, not just, like, guys, like, that make a mental mistake or they do it around center ice. They just fire at the net. And another thing is, too, as you've talked about, is, and I hate this, man, it's the modern NHL, bro. They pull the goalie with, like, 4 minutes left, some of these guys. So they'll pull the goalie with 4 minutes. Or the other one that I really hate, Babano, is when you're already down 2 or 3 and you pull the goalie, like, you're not coming back, bro. It's just, you're just charging up the fans and everything. I hate that stuff. And that's I play alternate totals, Babano, right? So, like, I'm putting together these weird parlays where I have, like, an in-game under 9.5 with another one under 7.5, and I still got burnt a couple of times. But, hey, it is what it is. It's frustrating. And my last thought, and I'll throw it to you, is, another thing is, we're not really seeing a ton of great close games, Babano. You know, the Rangers-Penguins game, but there's a lot of, like, you know, one team wins 5-2, then the next game the other team wins 5-2 or 5-1. We've seen a lot of that this year.
No, that we definitely have. And someone made a great note that if you've been laying the puck line, -1.5, you're actually doing really well.
Oh, yeah. That's a good point. It's usually, oh, I'm going to take the +1.5 and we'll you know, parlay it. We'll be safe. You're right. You're right. But Babano, the puck lines have been killing it.
It has been, and that's, I don't know if it's going to, look, this is the first round. We're obviously seeing, and we expect some of these series to be competitive, like Minnesota-St. Louis, Toronto-Tampa Bay, and yet most of those series, the games, the teams are winning by margin.
Yeah.
They are.
I know, and the thing is, man, you know, this is supposed to be as competitive as it's going to get, because you figure, no, as you go on, it gets tougher, but it kind of doesn't, right? Like, there's going to be mismatches after for teams to get through this first round due to the insanely stupid NHL playoff format. But, yeah, it's something that gets a great point, Babano, as far as the puck lines are concerned. And, like, don't be shy, right? It seems if you like the team, they're going to win by more than, especially with this empty net factor we're talking about.
No question about that. And look at the empty nets goals that for the St. Louis game. That's what cashed the over against Minnesota on Sunday. Look at the Rangers-Penguins. What if you bet an in-game under there, and there's Pittsburgh scoring 2 empty net goals in the final couple minutes, you know, on Saturday night against the Rangers? I mean, it's just been blowing up some of these, not just full game unders, but live unders with the empty nets. We have seen a lot of blowouts and by margin. I still think as the playoffs go on and we really cut the field down, second round, conference finals and beyond, then I think the draw is going to be something you start to look at more and more. I can't imagine we're going to see most of these series play out with 2, 3, 4 goal margins night after night, you know, like we're seeing right now. I think at some point we're going to see tighter hockey.
I don't think so. I don't think so. And quite frankly, the same thing in the NBA. There hasn't been that many buzzer beaters, hasn't been that many, oh my God, they're going back and forth here in the last minute, really. It's been, no, we beat you or you beat us. right? That's sort of been the theme. One series that is ultra close and kind of frustrating right now, to be honest, because I bet a lot of money on this team, is the Calgary Flames. We just talked about them. Credit the Dallas Stars. Credit the Stars for playing as well as they are. You know, they're a great defensive team. They've got a great young goalie, and they're giving Calgary all they can handle. Calgary's right there. It's not like Calgary's playing poorly, Babano, but let's just call it out for what it is. Calgary's just not putting the puck in the net enough.
No, you're absolutely right, and I'll tell you this right now, when it comes to Calgary, some of their big guns who were just having a phenomenal year are starting to get questioned. Why is Matthew Tkachuk more concerned about fighting John Klingberg? How about put a puck in the net? Andrew Mangiapane, it's nice to score a billion goals in October. Can I get one in May, please? That would be nice.
It's a lot harder to score. It's harder to score in May than October, but
I know, but these guys are paid to produce in the big games, the big moments, and then the postseason. I know, it's definitely less room out there.
I'm aware.
Find a way. You have to. And right now, Dallas is clogging it up in the neutral zone, keeping them to the outside. You got to get to those tough areas of the ice. And I'm frustrated with Calgary as someone that thought, you know, even with Dallas giving them trouble 2 years ago and historically being a tough out for the Flames, I thought Calgary just had the better team on paper coming into this series. And now they're in a spot where Monday night in Big D, they lose that game, they're in some serious trouble.
Yeah, they really are. You're exactly right. It's a must-win situation for them. And, you know, they came back, and I figured, all right, now they're back on track. You know, to me, you're right, though, about Calgary, which surprises me, is all the talk that I talked about, you and I talked about them last week, and I said, man, this is a good road team. They're built for the playoffs. And now they get to the playoffs, Babano, and suddenly they don't play playoff hockey. It's the most strange thing, like, not that they're playing playoff hockey, but one thing with the Flames, like they're falling into the classic passing the puck too much on offense and stuff, Babano, right? Like, you know what I mean? Like, they can't score, so they're looking for these perfect opportunities now. And, like, to me, it's like, guys, just flick the puck at the net, man. Flick the puck at the net and bang it in after. Crash and bang. And it's like suddenly they're not. And they're going to have to find a way. Like, just come out and, you know, find a way. I don't care if you have to kick the damn puck in the net. As long as you get away with it. Like, get the puck in the net, get a lead, and I think they'll be fine. But you're right. It's a pivotal game Monday night. Now the Calgary Flames, -120 Dallas Stars, +120 to win the series. As far as the game itself is concerned, the Calgary Flames are -156, and the Stars are +130, total 5.5. And I'll tell you what, Babano, that's the whole thing. Like, Dallas won the other night. Like, you have to lay a price on Calgary. Calgary closed at -160. So, like, they're heavy road favorites. They're too heavily favored, as we see right now. I still think, you know, I'm on the Flames. It is what it is. But these numbers at 156 and 160 on the road, Babano, are too high.
They are. What I'm going to do is I'm going to do a split. I will be on Calgary. Maybe it's time to abandon ship. I don't believe that, though. I mean, Dallas is credit to them. I mean, they've defended very. Jake Ottinger's a story in this series as well. He's been terrific, this young kid. And he is definitely their future in net for the Dallas Stars. Jake Ottinger looks like he's going to have a nice career ahead of him. But for Calgary, it's simple. I need a Johnny Gaudreau sighting. I can't have another game where I can't find you with a telescope on the ice. You know, we need Andrew Mangiapane to Blake Coleman. Where's he been? Blake Coleman was a great playoff performer for the Lightning last year. He was a big catalyst for that run to the Stanley Cup, and he's kind of been a little bit quiet in this series. So they need everybody on board, Calgary. And that's simple as that, and they need to defend better. Noah Hanifin had a critical giveaway the other night, and he's a good defenseman. So I like Calgary, but I'm going to split it up because I don't love the price. I'll only put half my bet on the money line. I'll put half my bet on regulation at around +110 for a little better value.
Basically, all these underdogs coming into the series, they're all in control right now, suddenly. You know, with the exception, looking at the overnight card and looking at the overnight board, with the exception of Colorado and Nashville, but nobody likes
the one series that's over, yeah.
Yeah, but nobody liked the Washington Capitals coming into this series. I didn't trust the Florida Panthers, like, in the big picture. I've talked about it. I've told you a million times. I've told everybody a million times. They're not built for the playoffs, the Panthers. I don't believe in them. They're just too offensive-minded. And, you know, they haven't lost the series yet, but, like I said, they've got issues. Everybody loved the Rangers coming into this series. Everybody likes the Rangers in every game in this series all the time. And here are the Pittsburgh Penguins right now in control. And we just talked about the Dallas Stars as well, Babano. Must-win situation for the Panthers as well. Similar situation. Big night of games on Monday night, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, no doubt about that. Keep this in mind. We've seen the teams up 2-1 in a series on Sunday. Let's see how they did. Carolina against Boston, loss. Minnesota against St. Louis, loss.
Nobody's been on a real run, right, besides Colorado here. You're right. There's been a lot of zigzagging going on here.
Yeah. Toronto against Tampa Bay, another team up 2-1. They lost. So what does that mean? Does that mean you back Florida down 2-1? They'll tie it up. Does that mean you back the Rangers? I do like the Rangers, actually.
No, but what's weird, the difference is, these teams are on the road, though, right? So, like Tampa, we're down, and Tampa responds at home.
That's true.
Florida's got to respond on the road at Washington. The Rangers have to respond on the road at Pittsburgh.
Calgary.
The Stars, the Stars are hosting the game. The Flames have to respond on the road. These are all must-win games for these teams, man.
I'll tell you what, if you ask me, of the Florida Panthers, New York Rangers, and Calgary Flames, which team do you trust the least to tie up the series, it's Florida.
It's got to be the Panthers, yeah.
It's Florida just because they're
road record. And after that, wouldn't you say the Rangers? Like, I'm more confident. I'd say the Flames. I have the most confidence in the Flames.
Yep.
I don't think the Rangers are going to win, though, Babano. I don't. I think the Penguins are going to beat them, actually, to be honest with you. But I understand your take on the Panthers not believing in them either.
Well, the thing is, the cloak has been tattered for Louis Domingue, and they won that in spite of Louis Domingue.
What about Shesterkin? It's not like the Rangers are pitching shutouts to the Penguins right now.
No.
All right, more of Babano on the other side, and we'll hit the lines. We'll get into this more. This is Sports Rage. Bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Sunday, Bloody Sunday continues. This is Sports Rage. I am Renzi, SiriusXM Channel 159 on the Sports Grid Radio Network. Shout out to all of our AM radio affiliates. Ian Cameron, Kick With Us, AK Babano. You hear him right here on Sports Grid. Find him over at the Ice Guys and many other spots. Follow him on Twitter for all the links at Babano. So, Babano, we could talk pucks all night, but let's start looking at some of these numbers right now. So the Florida Panthers are -182 road favorites. The total is 6.5. You were just talking about your lack of trust in this team. There's no way in hell I'm laying 182 with this team on the road in this spot. What's your take on this game?
I do like the over in this game, and I think Florida wins, but I'd rather take their team total. I'd rather lay $135 on the Florida over 3.5 than take them, because if they're going to win the game, they're going to have to score, I think, at least 4 goals. And I think they're obviously capable of that. So I'd rather go with that direction. Brunette has worked on the power. Apparently the focus in practice on Sunday was power play, and it should be, because the power play hasn't scored in the series against Washington so far. And that was a huge strength of the team all season long, this great offense and this great power play. And Washington has shut it down so far in this series. So they've worked extensively. Apparently they put in some new wrinkles, new looks. We'll see if it works tomorrow night. But obviously this is for Florida. Very important. I like the over 3.5, and I think this full game over is worth a look as well.
So we talked earlier, and I brought up the fact that the Toronto Maple Leafs are 1-8 in their last 9 games, playoff games, in which they have a series lead. And we said they don't have a killer instinct, right? They don't have a sense of urgency. They just don't have that killer edge and killer instinct. The Pittsburgh Penguins have struggled in past years in the playoffs, but they do have a killer instinct. They've got guys that have won gold medals. They've got guys that have won Stanley Cup championships, scoring titles, and all this other, you know what I mean? They've got the accolades. So I don't think they're going to roll over and be complacent, the Pittsburgh Penguins here. They're -113 against the Rangers, but Babano. FanDuel's got an even 6 up as the total. What's your thoughts on this one?
Yeah, I do like the Rangers here. I'm not ready to abandon ship. I actually think they'll get some confidence from battling back the way they did against. It was a horrible first period, no question. And Shesterkin wasn't great. It was probably a weak period by his standards, but a lot of it was just the play in front of him was horrid. I mean, you just cannot give pucks away to, you know, people right in your own zone like that on a silver platter. And the Rangers were guilty of that in the first period. Credit to them, they bounced back. Gerard Gallant actually pulling the goalie worked because they got that game back 4-4 after Georgiev came in. but the Penguins rebounded in the third. It was still valiant attempt at a comeback for the Rangers. I think they get a little confidence from that. Pittsburgh's not easy, and the Rangers are not defending the Crosby line with Gensel and Rust at all very well. So can they make that adjustment's the question, but I think they will tie this series up. They'll come out much stronger. They've been good off a loss. We've seen that repeatedly. Rangers been very good off a loss this year. Most of these teams are, but the Rangers have been. So I like the Rangers. And look, every game in this series has gone over, and you've got a goalie where his confidence has been shaken a little in Shesterkin and a goalie in Domingue. Look, I think the Rangers are going to continue to have success against him the longer he plays in this series because, you know, he's just going to, they're just more aware of his tendencies, and you're not going to see him play as well, I think, the more the Rangers see Louis Domingue. So it's hard not, it's hard to bet an under with these two teams right now.
Total is an even six at FanDuel. Colorado Avalanche, -255 road favorites, looking for the sweep here. The total 6.5. As far as the puck line is concerned, the Avalanche are -1.5. Predators plus 1.5. Colorado have been cruising. And listen, Colorado are a dangerous team moving forward. And we'll see if they have that killer instinct. Them sweeping the Preds doesn't mean they're going to win the Stanley Cup, but it does send a message that they're all business.
If Nashville wasn't, if that home crowd and home ice advantage and that fan base, which is great fan base, especially at playoff time, wasn't so strong, I'd look to the puck line. And I lean puck line with Colorado to finish it off here in game four. But Nashville is one of those buildings where it's loud, the fans get into it, and Nashville's probably not going to want to get swept at home. Maybe Colorado's a little lackadaisical, but that's the only reason I could think of to trust Nashville. I like over in this game as well, 6.5. Remember, this is an elimination game too. So you talk about coaches that will pull the goalie with 6-7 minutes left if they're trailing. That would absolutely happen for Nashville with their season on the line. So, and look, you might have Pavel Francouz in net for Colorado with Darcy Kemper possibly still out. He is still out for this game. He's a backup goalie. You're going to have Connor Ingram again, and Colorado finally figured him out after he stood on his head in game two. They just walloped him in game three. So this is another one where you'll probably see goals.
I don't know if they so much figured him out, but if you have a million shots, right, it's an onslaught. And
the floodgates that should have opened in game two against the guy, they opened in game three.
Yeah, eventually, exactly. It's like, you know, eventually they're going to start scoring on him. So Calgary at -156. Man, this one, that was so frustrating, dude. I was talking about Ben, and then they freaking scored with literally Bebano 0.1. You want to talk about a bad beat for under 5.5 players? I don't like the term bad beat. You know, it was a bad bet if you had it. And listen, just because you lost by half a point or you lost by this and that doesn't mean that it was a bad beat, but that's a bad beat. That's an effing bad beat. When another team, and they took like three shots at the empty net in the last minute, they miss. And then, you know, like really, like that's what I was talking about earlier with the modern player, old school player, Babano, at that limited time, all he's doing is chipping the puck. You know what I mean? So he'd be like, whatever, dude, there's 0.8 seconds left. I'm just going to flick this puck and the game's over. Today's player's like, no. I'm gonna blast this thing at the net. Yep. And I'm going to get my name on the score sheet. And exactly. I'm going to screw this. There's an empty net.
Totally different mindset.
Oh, it's so frustrating. But that time, I'm like, are you kidding me, guys? You didn't need to do that. It was one of those, you really didn't need to do that type of moments. But goals have been hard to come by. So one of the games went over because of the 1.1 second screw job, the Joan Collins special, as I call it. So Calgary are -156. Put it this way, I'd rather lay them 156 with the Flames and 182 with the Panthers on the road.
Yeah. Like I said earlier, I'm going to do Calgary half unit on the Calgary full game money line, but I'm going to put half on the regulation line because I don't want the whole bet on a -160. You know what I mean? I want to cut the juice down a little bit, and that's exactly what I'm going to do here with Calgary. And this is the one game I will not be looking toward the over with. I mean, I actually think you're going to get back to what it was like in game one or in game two. It's going to be 2-0, 2-1, 3-1, I think, for somebody. I think it's going to be really, really, this is an important game, a pivotal game in the series. These are two teams I think they're going to clamp down. Neither team's big guns are showing up other than Pavelski for Dallas, who's been up, and Lindholm for Calgary. Those have been the two guys that have done the scoring for their respective teams. Nobody else has really gotten it rolling. So I lean under, and I'm going to trust Calgary that, hey, they'll answer the bell here and tie this thing up.
The Carolina Hurricanes, I'm actually on the Carolina Hurricanes in this series, too. I have a series bet.
They frittered away Gabe a missed opportunity, a huge one today in Boston with no Charlie McAvoy, losing that game because of penalty trouble.
Well, now they're minus 152 on Tuesday night. And yeah, I'm not going to say it's a must win, but it kind of is. That's the whole thing with these teams, man, that they don't get, right? It's like, guys, if you're up 2-1, man, there's a massive freaking difference between being up 3-1 and tied 2-2. They're like different galaxies that you're in. You're up 3-1, you're in control, man. The team flight is a good time. The meals taste better. The practices are funner. 2-2, it's just like ultra stress now. And now, especially with these teams like Toronto, Babano, and Carolina, who go back home. You lose that game, bro, you're in a lot of freaking trouble after that, man.
So when it comes to Carolina, I think they're bouncing back. I think they're going to win game four at home. Boston hasn't proven they can win in Carolina every bit as much as vice versa. Carolina hasn't won in Boston.
That is true.
And look, let's not forget, Carolina was leading the game 2-1. They were carrying the play against Boston in game four on Sunday before all the penalty parades started. And they just took one really silly penalty after another. Rod Brind'Amour, that bad challenge that led to another penalty. And then the high sticking that put Boston on a 5-on-3 that gave them the go-ahead goal. It just snowballed for Carolina. I think they bounced back. I'm not worried about who's in net. It could be Kochetkov. It could be Raanta. I think it probably will be Raanta now that he's back. To hell with Frederik Andersen. This guy takes a decade to heal from injuries, so I don't think we're going to see him anytime soon. Carolina, I think, though, in game five is going to end up getting that done.
The Toronto Maple Leafs are minus 132 home ice favorites on Tuesday night. That series, of course, is tied at 2. We talked about Vasilevskiy now being 16-0 off a loss, but they have lost a lot of times off of a win. So if you're Toronto right now, you're in a position. If you want to go by this 16-0 run that the Lightning are on off of a loss, you need to win the game. It's as simple as that. And you really do, considering the negativity and the pressure that'll be on the Toronto Maple Leafs will grow quickly. As Babano brought up earlier, Leaf Nation's already thrown Tavares under the bus, right? And, you know, I don't have a problem with it, Babano. My whole deal is the modern sports fan, wait until the series is over. Like, that's my whole thing with these people. Like, you're not helping anybody. Like, by, you know, and I know you think, well, you know, I'm free to my opinion and stuff. Yeah, but if you want to call the guy a jerk off and you want to insult him and all this type of stuff, they see this stuff, right? Like, they see it. And if they don't see it, their friends see it. Their brother will see it and tell them. And no, it does. It leads. The negativity does not help, man. It really doesn't.
Yeah.
Look at the Sixers when the Sixer fans are all positive and stuff. It's a hard place to play. The Sixer fans turn on the team, they lose, right? Like the Vancouver Canucks players talked about it. I remember that I heard an interview with one of them. When people were bringing signs to the game and fire this guy and do this and that, and they asked the players, do you guys notice? And is it a problem? Is it like hard? They said, yeah, it sucks. They said, you don't think we notice? Like, people are booing and they got signs and they're like, you know? And remember I told you earlier, too, the Canucks players, when they were in New York, the agents all in New York said, so what's life in Vancouver like anyways? They said, oh, it's great. They said, the organization's great. The city's beautiful. But they said, there's a lot of jerk-offs on Twitter, man. Right? Like, it's around the league. Like, players know this stuff, Babano. Yep. So, and I'm not saying, well, you know, that should matter, but support your team until they lose. That's my motto, Babano. Support them, and then after the series, go, listen, we got a problem with Tavares. You know what I mean? What are we going to do about it? But ripping them and calling them this and that, because eventually players will turn on you and stuff, and then they'll tap out. They'll be like, screw these people anyways, man. I got paid, right? Like, it can go a lot of different ways. That's just, you know, that's my take on this. But the Leaf Nation will be supportive of them and stuff when they go back home. I think they can win it all, Babano. I think they will. I think this series is going 7 games.
I'm kind of with you. I mean, it's been win-loss, win-loss for Toronto in this series. Why should the pattern change? And you know Toronto's probably terribly upset with the way they played. I would probably split that between the first period and the full game because, look, the start is what killed the game for Toronto.
You're better off getting smoked, Babano, actually, what you just said. It's kind of true. Like, losing a 3-2 game and all that is heartbreaking and stuff. You get your ass handed to you, you're going to be ready the next night.
You are, and I think the Leafs will. I think they win game 5. Tampa probably wins game 6, and we're sitting here in a few days in a game 7, and it's tight, a one-goal game in the third probably for someone.
So what, they'll play, so that would be 5, so we would be Saturday. On after Wednesday. We would be on, though, after the game 6 then Wednesday night with Cam.
Yep.
It's going to be Monday, Wednesday, Friday, right? No, Monday, Wednesday, Saturday.
Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday it's going to be.
Oh, Tuesday. I'm all confused with the days here. I think tomorrow's today. Okay, let me move on. My bad. I'm lost. Stupid dates. All right, fine. Listen, Babatta, we got about 30 seconds here. The Blues in the Wild. Here's another series. I think this is going to end up going 7 games. These two teams are so evenly matched. It's going back and forth and stuff. Total 6.5. So this one, I think we're going 7, so I almost have to take the Wild.
Yeah, Wild in the over for me. And just because we're out of time, NBA on Monday, I love the Celtics. One of my bigger opinions of the playoffs. I love the Celtics, game 4.
All right, Babatta ends strong. Babatta ends with a hot pick, hot take on the way out. Great stuff, Babatta. Always appreciate your time. Thanks a lot for taking the time to be with us.
All right, thanks, Keith.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Oh, yeah. Late Night Anger Management Class. Thanks to Ian Cameron, a.k.a. Babatta, for kicking it with us. If you like baseball, we're going to talk a lot of baseball. Level 3, Jason B. Takafin is going to join us. So I would say, listen, it was an epic weekend of sports. And, like, really epic, man. It was the biggest upset in Kentucky Derby in 109 years, going back to 1913. You had an 80-1 shot to win. And in case you're wondering, what did it pay? A $2 exacta paid $4,100.20. A dollar trifecta paid $14,870.70. A $1 superfecta, $321,000. That's the score right there. Imagine a $1 bet. Like, we always hear about these crazy sports parlays and stuff. It's like, oh, wow, 80-1, and, like, these guys win, you know, parlays. But this was 320,000-1. The superfecta. Four. You know what sucked, too? I actually would have won $217. I know. But I'm just saying, I actually had an exacta. It was fixed odds. It was a fixed odds exacta with, who did I have? They had a 3 and a 10. And they were coming down the stretch. I was like, oh, man, I think I'm actually going to win. I was pissed off, though, the White of Barrio faded, right? So then I looked. I'm like, oh, I think I might win this exacta, actually. And then, boom. If you haven't seen the overhead shot, it really is amazing watching how the race transpired. It really is a great angle. So I was going to say, one of the craziest things that happened this week, an 80-1 shot wins a Kentucky Derby. He wasn't even supposed to be in a damn race. The Michael Chandler kick heard around the world. Tony Ferguson, that picture where Ferguson's face is like, you see that picture and it make you, you know, you should just say, I'm going to retire now. And Jonathan Quick trying to make a save without a glove on his hand, which actually wasn't a very smart thing to do, bro. This is Sports Race. Bring it.